You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Shooter who police say shot and killed a state police trooper in western Kentucky is now in custody. Lyon County Judge Executive Wade White made the announcement that police captured Joseph Johnson Shanks this morning on his Facebook page. The shooting happened after Trooper Joseph Ponder tried to make a traffic stop along I-24 in Lyon County last night. Kim Davis is not authorizing any marriage licenses for gay couples on her first day back at work. The Kentucky County Clerk addressed the media this morning, saying she was being forced to make an impossible decision. As a condition of her release, Davis was ordered not to interfere with the issuing of marriage licenses. The woman who pled guilty to helping two inmates escape in upstate New York prison earlier this year is speaking out. Joyce Mitchell details the items she brought into the prison to aid the escape of Richard Matt and David Sweat.
I give them the star bit, 4 full-size hacks blades. I give them chisel and punch. That's all that I give them.
Mitchell pled guilty to bringing in materials that helped the inmates escape the Clinton Correctional Facility back in June. This is USA Headline News.
Your local pharmacist is also a Health Mart pharmacist. And they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed, but I was so relieved. Her Health Mart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit healthmart.com to find a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Today, sunny, high near 74, clear on the overnight, low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, sunny, high in the 80s, clear on the overnight, low in the 50s. Sunny again Wednesday and clear at night. Temperatures seem to be in the lower to mid 80s for the rest of the week. Looks like all clear until possibly Sunday. Slight chance of showers. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Welcome to the table here, Chef Bill. Coming to you every Monday about this time. We were on Rewind last week. I unfortunately had to miss. I hope you enjoyed whatever played. What are we doing? Oh, lots going on this week. We've got Oktoberfest coming up officially. I believe it's September 17th. Festival starts, even though it's Oktoberfest. It's not really a harvest fest. It actually was a wedding celebration for a prince, I think Prince Ludwig or somebody years, centuries ago. So it's just a big celebration. Nothing to do with any harvest or anything like that. And it's basically beers and sausages, although we try to do some other German food to celebrate the culture and all the good things. Especially in the fall, the weather's starting to get cooler, so we're looking for these heartier dishes after behaving all summer. Oh, eating the week. What do we have going on this week? Let's see. Rosh Hashanah begins. So that celebration going on. A lot of people prepare some nice foods in the home for that. Tradition. All about tradition. It's carry on things that happened when you were young or make your own traditions. So, let's see. The 14th today is National Cream-Filled Donut Day. And also, eat a hoagie. If you don't want cream-filled donuts, go out and grab yourself a hoagie. Could be a hoagie, a grinder, a sub, a torpedo, whatever, wherever region you're from. The long sandwich has its own kind of name. The 15th is Linguine Day. Linguine, the one little pasta, has its own day. And we'll give you a hint on that. Obviously, the one that comes to mind, of course, is with clam sauce or fresh clams. Linguine is kind of a, if you've never had it, kind of a flat, well, oval spaghetti. And if you look at a cross section of it, it's supposed to be a little lingua, the tongue. It's supposed to look like a little tongue. Sparrow's tongue, I think, originally. And you find it, it's neat if you look into where the names come from on all the Italian pastas, all representing something. Either the tortellini was modeled after the navel of Venus, the goddess of love, for example. You really make the making flour and water very romantic here. The 16th, Guacamole Day. Guacamole has kind of taken the country by storm, it seems, in recent years. As whether it's an appetizer or put on a sandwich. We often get requests for avocado on sandwiches. Guacamole, the avocados, if you think about it, it's kind of a vegetarian butter. If you will, it's got the mouthfeel. It's got some fat in it, obviously, but good fat. The avocados, I think they actually, some I've heard it referred to as Mexican butter. Just make a spread out of it. But we'll go through our procedure for that. We sell a fair amount of it at Jake's. We make it with, of course, the crab meat or without crab meats. Crab and avocado is a classic combination, so we just kind of modernized it with, instead of a stuffed avocado with crab, we do the guacamole. And what else? 17th, apple dumpling. And in keeping with our German celebration, of course, apple pancakes, apple cakes, apple dumpling, anything like that would be something that would go with your German feast. The 18th cheeseburger. National Cheeseburger Day. Not just hamburger, cheeseburger. And it's interesting, the burger, the hamburger, originated in Germany, probably from the steak tartare. And also our other popular food, the hot dog, Frankfurter, one of the sausages. Germany famous for its sausages, and the Frankfurter was named after the city, and of course now we call them hot dogs. But think of two of our favorite handheld foods originated in Germany. 19th is Butterscotch Pudding Day, and the 20th is Rum Punch. And I guess you could make this a rum punch, any, make it sweet, make it not so sweet, use dark rum, light rum. But basically, you know, rum and fruit juices, which probably good, this time of year, you're winding down summer, it's probably at the last fling, you might concoct something like that. But this week, obviously, Oktoberfest will start at the restaurant at Jake's. We'll start that this coming Friday. We'll start featuring we call it the Oktoberfest platter. It's smoked pork and a couple of sausages, or sometimes we do it with just two or three sausages. So after all, Oktoberfest is really about sausage and beer. We have the Oktoberfest beers are in already. We're already featuring a couple of them. We've got the real German stuff coming out toward the weekend. And what else? So the sauerbraten, I've got that marinating. Put that in the marinade last night. I've got the pork curing to do the smoked pork. Difficult to find sometimes. The smoked pork chops, butchers don't like to deal with them because it's basically a product that's already cooked. And if they're cutting raw meats on the bandsaw, then they have to cut some smoked pork chops. Of course, you have to sanitize the bandsaw before you go for, you don't want raw food touching cooked food, even though we're going to heat it up, it's still a safety measure there. So sometimes difficult to find those anymore. I know that's why I started curing my own, because it just, you use Canadian bacon, but so much of that, it's kind of that round, most of it just looks like a disc. It's kind of a formed product. It's got a lot of water in it. If you do your own, a boneless pork loin, brined and then smoked, or even done in the oven. We use the, of course, the curing salt, so it gets it that nice pink color. You can make your own. And you could do it with I like it with the boneless loin, but of course you could do maybe a small piece of the leg, or even the shoulder, the pork butt, and smoke that. I like the loin also. The brine gets in there quicker because it's a nice uniform smaller piece of meat. And actually, pork tenderloins, if you wanted to do them fairly quickly, you want nice little tender, I guess you would call it a hamlet. And you could use those too. So we'll go through that procedure also. But the linguine, just a, you know, quick thing. You know, obviously we think of clams. Linguine obviously can be used with many kinds of garnishes, sauces, originating in Liguria, which would probably be more known for pesto and probably seafood. What we like to do now, we used to use the canned chopped clams, and a lot of places do that, in your olive oil and garlic and clam juice and whatever. One place I worked, we used to use that as the base and then garnish with fresh steamed clams. And now at the restaurant, we just use steamed clams. We do like a dozen and a half little necks and steam them and just have your pasta with the clam. In Italy, I think where the chopped clams came from, the vongolo, the very small clams, are what are harvested over there. And I've used them. They are very, very tiny. and you have to be careful. I did use them in one restaurant briefly. I got them and finally found some, but they kind of get lost in the pasta, and if you crunch onto a shell, you know, you might have might have to go see a dentist. So that was a little dangerous to use. I guess you really got to have to pay attention to what you're eating. But small clams, we like to use the smallest ones and make our linguine and clams with those. What we'll do is, I like to steam the clams separately just to make sure that if there's any sand in them, or if you have a mud clam, sometimes you have those, you don't want to ruin the sauce. But I'll use olive oil and shallots, garlic, very simple, fresh parsley, oregano, and black pepper. And what we do, add some white wine. So I have the sauce cooking. When the clams are steamed, of course, pour some of the broth in there to give your sauce a little bit of body. The other finish I like to do, really, it's an olive oil-based sauce, but if you put a little pat of whole butter in at the end, it kind of makes it a little, helps emulsify it, makes it a little creamy. And also, when you're cooking the pasta, if you undercook the pasta a little bit, you don't want it too hard in the middle, and then you finish cooking the pasta in the sauce, and when one chef discovered, you'd kind of stir the pasta vigorously with a fork, and some of the starch comes off and gives you a nicer emulsified sauce, so it's not just a lot of broth falling off the noodles. I like to cook the pasta fresh for that and not rinse it, because with your thinner sauces, it sticks to the pasta better. You can always tell when pasta's been boiled ahead and then rinsed and chilled down and then re-dipped, because the sauce just doesn't stick to it. Fresh pasta, of course, I prefer. It cooks quicker, and you get that, the starch on that just holds more of the sauce. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table and pursue Oktoberfest and our weekly food festivals here, Chef Bill's Table.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibby of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill. So we guess we finished our linguine and clams, always good. And of course, if you like it red, a little chopped fresh tomato would work in there, although people usually like it a little more saucy. You could puree some fresh tomatoes or use a little bit of your favorite marinara or tomato sauce. Just give it that little bit more summery flavor. And what else? Okay, guacamole. A little hint about that. We make it to order at the restaurant, and here's how you can do this. And really, there's a lot of, I know there's frozen and refrigerated product out there. Problem with guacamole is it it oxidizes quickly, so it needs to be covered. And I always say if you throw the put the pit in there with it, it slows it down. Really, the lime juice is probably as responsible for that. But we like to make it to order now. And what we do is we have a little mixture called Pico. And this will hold up for several days because it's just very finely chopped. We use Roma tomatoes, so you cut those in half crosswise and kind of let the seeds, squeeze the seeds out of it. You can peel them. You don't really have to. And we just dice those very small, a little bit of red onion, and then jalapeno. Take those, we quarter them, and with a paring knife, you kind of slide out the membrane and the seeds so it's not too spicy. And that can be done to taste. Depends on how hot the jalapenos are nowadays. Sometimes they're not even that hot anymore. Mince those very small. And so we have this mixture, some fresh lime juice, a little salt, black pepper, if you like, not for spice, but more for flavor. Cilantro. If you don't like the cilantro, don't put it in there, but we mince a little cilantro in there. So you have this mixture, and it's got the juices from the tomato, and you've got a little bit of the lime juice there. And this mixture you can keep in a refrigerator. And whenever you need guacamole, you simply cut the avocado in half, take out the pit, and you can either dice it, or you can kind of scrape it, make it like a mashed mixture, and then you just put a little bit of this Pico in there as you need it. You can put a little bit, you can put a lot. If you don't want the tomatoes in there, I would just make it with more of an onion and cilantro and jalapeno relish. And this becomes your flavoring, your seasoning. Now, you can always squeeze a little lime in if you want, or if you want it hotter, you know, maybe a dash of hot pepper sauce. But this is really a quick and easy way. You can make guacamole. If you're having it for a party, you can make it 5 minutes beforehand and ready to go. But you have the Pico is where the work is. And if you make that ahead, as I say, it's kind of marinated in the lime juice, so it's really not going to spoil too quickly. So you can have your Pico on hand, and you can always be a hero with some fresh guacamole made to order. All right, so German food. Of course, Oktoberfest, again, it's all about the sausages. And a lot of the German sausages are, if you think of a Weisswurst or a Knackwurst, they're very smooth. The butchers, you can make them at home. There's books, there's recipes. You really have to emulsify so you get that smooth texture. And you can do that in a food processor. You always put a little ice in there. You know, you'll always see water as an ingredient. Really, the ice helps keep the mixture cold and helps the meat emulsify. But then you put them in the casing, and if it's a Knackwurst, you're going to smoke it for a while. And the other fresh sausages, of course, we just would steam them or poach them till they're cooked, and then chill them down. Chill them. Probably the quickest way is in an ice water bath. And then you have them for later. Your sausages, basically, go to a good German butcher or look for good ones in the store. Most of the stores should have them nowadays. And you want a nice selection of them. I like Bauernwurst. It's a little bit coarser. It's got a little mustard seed in it, different flavor. Of course, we always have the Knackwurst, which is the smoked beef and pork, or all beef. Kind of tastes like what we know as a hot dog. And then we always want there's Bratwurst, of course, and then the Weisswurst, one of my favorites. It's veal and pork. There's no nitrates in it. It's not smoked. It's a nice, usually a little spice, a little nutmeg, and maybe a little spice into it. And remember with these sausages, you don't want to overcook them, especially the natural casing ones. You don't want it to split too much. It's a product that's already cooked, so you really need to get that just to that simmering point, or if you're braising them in your sauerkraut, you don't really want to cook them to death. And the sometimes people like them a little brown, the white sausages especially, so they don't look so pale. And that's fine. A little butter or oil. A whole butter would be better because that'll kind of add some browning to it as the milk solids brown in the pan. And just gently, you have to turn them, just get that little color on them. But just, you don't, with the casing starts to split, you've overcooked them and destroyed what the butcher intended there. So just be gentle with them. As I say, the products are already cooked. You're really just trying to bring them back to that 180 degrees, that safe temperature. You really don't have to broil or boil them too much. So now the sauerkraut, which, of course, is the important thing. We like to do it with cider this time of year, although you could do a fancy a champagne sauerkraut or even some Chardonnay. I don't know if it was this champagne sauerkraut. Of course, you would use leftover champagne, but I still have yet to find any leftover champagne anywhere. I don't think that happens too often. Although if you do have champagne left and save it, the bubbles are gone, it's still very, very good wine. But what we do is with the sauerkraut, we get the barrel fermented, the big tubs of it. You could buy the refrigerated sauerkraut in the store, and those would be good. The canned ones cooked a lot more. I mean, there's not much to them. I know they're handy to keep on the shelf, but really of course, where I'm from, central New York, it's cabbage country. That's where a lot of the cabbage goes to make sauerkraut. But you can usually find it in the meat section, or at least with the deli, the cooked meats, hot dogs, things like that. And it's fermented cabbage, basically. So it's a little tangy, it's a little salty. We like to rinse it off. Rinse it with some cold water. And you can rinse it once, twice, in a strainer. You don't want to lose any of it. And then we start with some onion. You can use butter, but usually oil would be better. So when it chills down, you don't get the hard butter. Of course, the Germans would probably use lard or even some kind of melted pork fat would be really tasty. But we have minced onion, and you can add garlic if you want. I don't think it needs to go in there because a lot of the sausages have some garlic in them anyway. And if you're cooking the sausages with it, that's really good. One's going to flavor the other. The sauerkraut's going to help flavor the sausages, and the sausage and smoked meat help flavor the sauerkraut. So once the onion's soft, we add the sauerkraut and start to warm that. Now we'll add cider. It could be regular apple cider. It could be hard cider if you like. Some people use a beer. You don't want anything really too hoppy. You don't want it too bitter. Talk about beers toward the end of the show for Oktoberfest. You could use white wine. A Riesling would be fantastic. That's got good fruit flavors. Or the Chardonnay. If you do put the wine in there, maybe a little thin sliced apple or even applesauce. You want to mellow the sauerkraut out and sweeten it up a little bit. And if you need more liquid, actually what I've done is add even a little chicken broth. And it seems odd that you would add something salty to sauerkraut. But if you've rinsed it well, it's really not that salty at all. You can then season as you like. So bring the sauerkraut to a simmer, and then we start adding our meats. And like I say, for our platter, we'll do the sliced smoked pork, and then the knackwurst and the weisswurst. And then either steam it or bake it for a little while, or simmer it on the stovetop covered. Again, you just need to heat these meats through. Smoked pork loin, Canadian bacon, whatever you use, it's already been cooked. So you're really trying not to cook it too much again. But when you have this platter, some people would even throw you could throw a couple of slices of bacon in there when you're doing the sauerkraut. Of course, bacon works well with your German potatoes also. So you've got your sauerkraut, your sausages, and really you just need a potato side dish and some good mustard, some dark bread, and a nice stein of German beer, and you've got a nice dinner. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. Firefighters battling two fast-moving wildfires in Northern California still have a long way to go.
They're both being fanned by incredibly dry conditions and gusty winds that we've seen. While temperatures this weekend have been cooler, it's the winds that have picked up, and that's what continues to challenge us today.
Daniel Burlant with Cal Fire says four firefighters injured in the Valley Fire in Lake County are in stable condition with second-degree burns. The massive wildfires claimed the life of one person and remains at 0% containment, covering an estimated 50,000 acres. The suspected shooter who police say shot and killed a state police trooper in western Kentucky is now in custody. Lyon County Judge Executive Wade White made the announcement that police captured Joseph Johnson Shanks this morning on his Facebook page. Stocks are opening mildly higher as Wall Street waits for this week's Fed policy meeting. The central bank will decide Thursday whether or not to raise interest rates. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 were all mildly higher at the open. This is USA Headline News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, going over some German food. So yes, you have your now potatoes. We will, you know, we'll do the our smashed potatoes. Everybody likes a boiled potato would work with this. If you want some nice German fried potatoes, and a lot of steakhouses probably call them home fries, hash browns, half and half. Always some use a lot of onions. And a couple of ways you could do this. Some people would use a leftover cooked potato. What you want, if you're doing some fresh, boil your potatoes and then let them cool down, peel them. And you can either slice or dice them. Another way would be to peel and dice them first, and not too small, and then boil them, but just partially cook them. You don't cook them. It's almost like getting ready to do a French fry. So you have these boiled diced potatoes that, you know, a little bit firm in the middle because you're going to cook them again, and let them drain and sit. And what will happen is that, just like when you blanch the French fry for the first time, you get a little bit of the starch. You get kind of a little skin on the potato of starch, and then when you go to saute them, of course, it helps them brown up a little bit. Now, for traditional, of course, we'd start with some diced bacon and render that slowly. Oh, when you're doing bacon like this, you always want to start with a cool pan and let the fat render out slowly. got your diced bacon. When it gets crispy, of course, you're going to remove it with a slotted spoon. Let it drain on some paper towel. Have some diced or sliced onion. You will cook that in the bacon fat. And again, with the your slotted spoon, remove the onions from the fat. You still want you want those set aside. You want them nice and soft. Now you have your bacon fat that's left. I want to get that fairly hot and add your potatoes so they're frying. If you need to add a little bit of oil, if say your bacon didn't give you that much fat, you just mainly want the flavor. You can use a little bit of canola oil, neutral oil. And you want to fry the potatoes till they are brown. Season them with some salt and pepper. And then when the potatoes are brown is you when you add the onions and the bacon back in. If you try to fry the potatoes with the onions, sometimes the onions might get burnt. You really want these to be nice and brown. You want that crunchy outside if you can. So the German fried potatoes would be a nice accompaniment to the sauerkraut platter. Now the sauerbraten is the one that takes some time. I put some in the marinade last night. It's red wine vinegar, a little bit of water, basically onion, peppercorn, juniper, bay leaf, cloves, a little bit of that seasoning. What I'd like to do is I take the red wine and the vinegar and all these seasonings and not the water, and I'll bring them to a simmer just to kind of release some of the flavor from the spices. So now you take that off the heat, and the amount of water that is in the recipe, actually you can use ice water or even ice and add that so it cools the mixture down. You don't want to put your meat in the marinade when the marinade's still hot. You don't want to start cooking it part way. Or you can make the marinade ahead and let it chill down. Now for the sauerbraten, the first sauerbraten I had, by the way, was we used to do this big game dinner, the first restaurant I worked at. I was a teenager, and always in January, it was a big deal. The owners, it was by invitation. And of course, you can't sell the game unless it's inspected, so we gave the food away. Of course, the bar did great business, but it was kind of business people and, game warden, police officers, anybody that customers and friends of the owner. And a couple of his friends would help with the cooking. Of course, the game, people would bring it in. A lot of them were sportsmen. And the sauerbraten was made with venison. When you think about this, it's pickled beef or pickled game and really set up to flavor the game and also draw out some of the gaminess, if you will. Sometimes the venison could be a little strong. And so we had these big earthenware crocks, and of course the kitchen wasn't insulated. It's back in the 60s, and you would tuck that in the corner of the kitchen, so it wasn't really refrigerated, but it wasn't really warm. It was January, so near the walls was cool, and let the venison marinate for a few days. So what I do is I take bottom round, and the easiest one to use is the eye round. That's part of the bottom round. It's a very uniform piece. I like to tie it just like you're tying a sausage. It helps for when you're carving it later. And you need to marinate it, at least 3 days, probably up to five. I don't know if you can even over marinate it. Probably too long in the acid, it might get a little mealy. But I found 4 to 5 days is good. And now to cook the sauerbraten, of course, you take the beef out of the marinade and pat it dry. And we have what we call mirepoix. We have onion, celery, and carrot. So, for a 4-pound roast, you might need, a cup of onion. And I like a little, actually a good amount of carrot in there. It sweetens the sauce. And like half cup of celery and carrot diced up. So brown the meat, and also the string makes it easier to do that. Kind of roll it around, get it brown on the outside. Make sure you dry it, otherwise it's just going to kind of boil in the oil. It's not really going to brown. And then have your mirepoix. Saute those vegetables a little bit. And you have the marinade that you've strained. So you want to save all that marinade, not all the seasonings and everything, because otherwise you have to strain your sauce afterwards. So we strain the marinade in there and then add some beef broth, just enough to cover. You could cook it on the stovetop at a low simmer, or easier, 350-degree oven, cover it. And, you know, about an hour and a half or so, because the eye round is nice because it's not that large a diameter. You check it for tenderness. Of course, it's going to be well done. And I use the fork, the old, if you have a two-prong fork, a big cook's fork, just like checking corned beef. I stick it in towards the end of the roast and give it a slight twist. If it twists easily, then I know the meat's well done. You don't want to shred it right in the center of the thing, but you'll check your roast like that. Now, when the roast is done, of course, you'll remove it from the marinade, or the cooking juices, rather. And the sauce, simply, we take that mirepoix, everything that's in there. If you like, you can just buzz it with the blender stick. That'll help thicken it. But really, we like to use ginger snaps. And I just crush regular ginger snap, nice dry cookies, and that's going to, you cook that in the sauce. The sauce, of course, is going to be thin at the start. And you just let that simmer for a while until the cookies, the flour, everything kind of just thickens the sauce. At that point, you can strain it, get your vegetables out of it and any large crumbs that appear. You've got a nice, very good smooth sauce. Check it for seasoning at the end, salt and pepper. It may need a little bit of each. And then you've got your sauce. Now, the meat at this point, you can slice it across the grain, fairly thin, and moisten it. Actually, it's best the round, you know, there's not much fat in there. It can be a little dry looking, so we like to put it right back in the sauce. And, you know, it's sauerbraten. It translates, it's basically pickled roast, but very good. We do the spätzle with that, the German pasta. Fairly simple. I know you can buy it. I think you can buy it frozen, but if you have 2 eggs and about 3.5 ounces of milk and blend those together, then 6 ounces of flour by weight. We like to put a little salt and pepper in there and maybe some definitely some nutmeg. You could put dill or chive or anything like that if you want. They're parsley chopped. And so you make this batter. You mix it fairly well, and it's going to be a little, have a little, you know, the gluten, a little strength in there, just like when you're making a crepe batter. Now you let it rest. You let it relax a little bit. And we just use a colander with large holes in it and kind of push the batter through into some boiling water. The dumplings, they should be all different kinds of shapes and sizes. You don't really have any consistency to it. The Germans, of course, have a board and a little palette knife, and they kind of scrape off each noodle very quickly. That's a skill that you have to really practice a lot to do. We just, you know, put the little noodles through the colander, large holes, and once they float, you know, you are cooking a batter, obviously. So you want them to be cooked, and then we put them in the cool water, the ice water, to cool down. Now, and this can all be done ahead. To bring them back, we just melt a little bit of whole butter, because you're going to brown these a little bit in a little nonstick pan or a regular pan. And then we just saute the spätzle until it gets a slight brown. You'll smell the nutmeg. You can then season again if you need to. But really, they should be all set to go. Just brown them up, and nice accompaniment along with some sweet and sour red cabbage for your sauerbraten. And I say that's the way. Yeah, we've done in the past. I think we did potato dumplings are a little tough to pull off. Sometimes they get a little heavy. Our guests seem to like the spätzle. Plus, it's good with the gravy. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about German beer. And if we have time, just maybe a little apple dessert. We've got Apple Dumpling Week. Chef Bill's Table.
Hunnan. This is Big C coming to you from HunnanChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunnan County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunnan kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunnan County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunnan, HunnanChamberRadio.com.
Hunnan Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunnan Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunnan Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunnanhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunnan County.
Hunnan Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill. Their German food. Oh, apple dumpling. I don't know if you ever had those or not. Of course, Germans do an apple cake or like an apple pancake. Fairly simple way to end a meal. Do them in a big skillet. The apple, it's, I think there was one in the Times last week, I think. And the author used apples that were quartered, and then he kind of just slit them a little bit and put apple quarters around in the cake batter, and then of course bake it in the oven. But the dumpling actually is with a pie crust. I've seen them done with crescent dough. There's many ways to do it out there, but it's an apple in wrapped in pastry. If you use the pie crust, you could, of course, make your own or purchase some. But you have your apples, and the Granny Smith's probably good, a good firm apple, although you can experiment. Some of the apples, like a Delicious, might not hold up. You want an apple that's going to not collapse when it bakes. So you peel and core the apples, and you have a pastry square large enough so you can kind of fold it up around the apple and crimp it. Now, in the core of the apple, of course, is you put a mixture. Some people put raisins, but you'll have some butter and some sugar, maybe a little cinnamon, nutmeg if you like. And you put that in the center of the apple there. And of course, as it bakes, it's going to kind of baste and flavor the apple. Some people make a syrup afterwards, maybe with a little apple brandy and some sugar, or apple cider, apple juice, and make a simple syrup, something to kind of drizzle over that with more maybe cinnamon, nutmeg, whatever you like in there. But basically in a 400 degree oven, you're going to bake these dumplings. So it's like you've got pie crust and you've got a baked apple inside. And some people may choose to slice the apple and make little pockets, I think, but then you're approaching kind of an apple turnover, I guess. The apple cake, basically, if you have four eggs, you want to beat the eggs very, very well until they're fluffy. And then you're going to add, you've got 2 cups of flour, 2 cups of milk. You're going to add the milk to the eggs and then sift in the flour, and about 1/3 of a cup of sugar. And again, oven at 400 degrees. You get a 12-inch cast iron skillet would be the best to use for that. And as you can, obviously, you can put the whole thing in the oven. You don't want to, don't use a skillet with a plastic handle. So you get that hot. You've got a little butter. You drop, you put the cake batter in there, and then you could drop in sliced apples or just bake this cake. It comes out puffy like a, if you think of a Yorkshire pudding. And then, of course, it'll collapse at the end. There's no baking powder or anything like that in there. The rise just comes from the air you've beaten into the eggs. And then that could be served with a fruit puree, some confectioner's sugar, or some sautéed sliced apples. So some way to, you know, use the apples. It's the it's fall. It's the fall fruit. And good way to end your meal. What else? Sauerkraut. Good use for sauerkraut if you have any left. I know it sounds kind of strange. We actually run this at the restaurant. Probably will do it this year, too. We always have, you know, there's always a little bit of cooked sauerkraut. It's got all the nice pork flavor in it. We do fresh every day for the platter, so there's at the end of the night, there's always a little bit left. And we have the Rubens, things like that we can use it on, but try it on a pizza. And just regular tomato sauce, whatever your pizza sauce is, and you have the drained sauerkraut. You can chop it if you like, but sprinkle the sauerkraut on just like a topping. And you know, then your cheese, and then pepperoni and sauerkraut. And really, that sauerkraut gives the pizza a nice different texture, a little juiciness. It's actually pretty good. You'd think it would be strong, but if you use the sauerkraut that you've already braised and had the meats in, it's a lot of the punch is out of it. And some people use just straight sauerkraut for this. So it would be, well, that and the pepperoni, you know, a little bit tangy. Of course, if that's what you're looking for, that's okay. But yeah, just try it. Just for laughs, just try a sauerkraut and pepperoni pizza. It's something I never thought would be, didn't sound that good, but actually very tasty. Now, as far as German beers, and of course, German wines, if you like wines, we like to cook with them, of course, consume them, the Riesling. But really, the Oktoberfest, the German beers, the lager beer, lager style of beer, which is our popular American beers, although a lot of the craft brewers now do more ales, started basically Czechoslovakia, but the Germans kind of perfected it. The difference between ales and lager is the, first of all, ales can ferment at a warmer temperature. Lagers need the cold temperature. And then the type of yeast in an ale, we call it top fermenting yeast, and the lager is bottom fermenting. The lagers, they notice with that yeast, of course, sank to the bottom. The beer was nice and clear, whereas the ales, you had to pull the yeast off the top and a little bit cloudy. But you need cold, you need to rest. So the ale, much quicker to make. Lager takes a little bit longer. And it was Carl von Linde in 1873, the Spaten Brewery, came up with the ammonia refrigeration, cold fermentation that was able to be done then, because it came up, I don't know if you've ever seen that, ammonia used as a refrigerant. I remember a meat company I used to buy from had their freezers. You walked in the freezers and all, you smelled the ammonia from the pipes there. So what happens is it takes a while to ferment, and it's fermented at cold temperature, and then they have a process called krausening sometimes, which is kind of a natural carbonation process that they'll put the beer through. But basically, the Marzahn beer that's consumed in Oktoberfest was actually made in March. It was made in the spring, but it needed to be stored in the ice house all summer long, nice and cold. It was conditioning, it was fermenting, getting ready for consumption in the fall. So that's probably that style of beer is your Oktoberfest beer. And Marzahn is great. It's obviously good with the sausages, good with ham, but even with your hamburgers, pizza, and even grilled vegetables, Marzahn will match up well with all of these things, all of our favorite food. So the Oktoberfest beer, look for a Marzahn style And that will be what goes along with your German food. And also Oktoberfest. Don't forget roasted chicken. That's part of the deal. The spit roasted chicken. If you're not a fan of the sausages or the pork or anything like that, have a nice rotisserie chicken. And still with your, you know, your cabbages or potatoes, your vegetables, your German beer. Be a good matchup. And another, and you can celebrate Oktoberfest that way. Without, if you can't have or don't want to have the sausages, be very much with tradition having roasted chicken. They also, apparently, the festival, they'll roast, you know, whole ox. Maybe years ago they would have an ox roast. That'd be a pretty big spit to turn. But sausages, roasted chicken, have sauerkraut, cabbages, potatoes, apples to finish up. It could be a good week. Oh, also, I forgot to mention the jazz festival going on September 18th to 20th, starting in Flemington on Friday from 6 to 10. At the historic courthouse, and then in New Brunswick, Saturday, 1 to 6 p.m., in Monument Square, and then finishes up in Somerville on Sunday from 1 to 6, courthouse and main stage, sponsored by Downtown Somerville Alliance, New Brunswick Jazz Project, and the Flemington Business Improvement District. So if you're not doing anything around here Friday night, or even if you are and you want to stop by the courthouse and listen to some jazz. In the meantime, we've got to head out. Sue from ShopRite will be next in the aisle. And Chef Bill signing off. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Northern California's raging valley fire has turned deadly. The massive wildfire has claimed the life of one person and remains at 0% containment, covering an estimated 50,000 acres.
As we came down, there was fire everywhere. And houses, our neighbors' houses, friends' houses, everybody's houses are burning up.
Cal Fire says hundreds of homes have been destroyed since the fire erupted on Cobb Mountain Saturday afternoon. The fires prompted California Governor Jerry Brown to declare a state of emergency in Napa and Lake counties. Authorities in western Kentucky are searching for a suspect who shot and killed a Kentucky State Police trooper. The suspect's vehicle was found abandoned in the median of Interstate 24 in Lyon County last night. A police spokesman.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
What I like about it, and excuse me, and what everybody was talking about in Clinton was that not only is this an event that is certainly near and dear to your heart because it's a run. Two, it's supporting your club. But three, what all the dignitaries like about it is that they're hoping that this is going